Let's take a moment this morning and admit, don't we do the opposite in our life? Don't we turn the molehills in life to mountains? Are we good at that? All right, I'm going to just lay it on the line here and tell you, I'm good at that. And a couple weeks ago, I had one of those moments, and maybe you've had one of those days where you have a bunch of molehills that are presented to you, and by the end of the day, it's a big mountain. You don't think you're ever going to overcome it. So here is my day. In the morning, I went to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist did a head-to-toe examination. That's kind of, not so great. And he came to the conclusion that, yeah, I had precancerous spots on the top of my head. That was annoying, not a terrible thing, but annoying. And then he concluded the meeting by saying, boy, we're going to become really good friends over the next couple of weeks. What a nice guy. There's a molehill. Then the next thing that happened in the day is I went home, and it was on the coldest day in the morning, really cold. Remember those cold mornings a couple weeks ago? And the hot water stopped completely in the house, didn't even come out of the faucet. And there was a sensor beeping in the garage. I had no idea what that meant. Frustrating. That was another molehill. Then the day was really busy, wasn't able to get to one of the kids' activities. Then by the end of the day, really exhausted by everything that had gone on, there were a few extra things. There were the dishes that had just kind of piled up in the sink. Have you ever noticed that dishes, when they do that, they have eyes on them, and they look at you and say, boy, come and clean me. Now, after all that happened in one day, I got to the point where I said, the whole world is against me, basically. Have you ever had a day like that? Yeah. Two things happen when we have days like that. Number one is that we start thinking in the short term. We think the problems that we have are going to last forever. Secondly, we think our problems are huge. We turn molehills into mountains. Now, I'm here to report to you all the things that I just listed to you, all of them are solved already. They're fixed. How did Joseph do the opposite? How did Joseph turn mountains into molehills? What was it? Now, as I've studied this text and kind of brought it to my heart and kind of listened to God's prompting this week, I came to the conclusion that there's only one thing that Joseph had going for him. Only one thing. He had a call from the Lord. That's it. In the verses preceding what Elder Rick read, Joseph received a vision and a dream. Now, it's kind of a strange dream. You remember it maybe from that musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream Coat. But in the dream, Joseph sees the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down and worshiping him. Now, what was that? I'm going to suggest that that was a call. Joseph knew from that moment that God thought highly of him. Joseph was calm. Joseph lived with confidence. What's also interesting about this text is that if you read about Joseph, and he's one of the most written about people in the entire Bible here, from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50, if you study this guy and you study what the author, what Moses is writing here, it actually doesn't say much about Joseph himself. Like, what made him so successful? It doesn't say that he was smart. Doesn't say that he was a great leader. Doesn't say that he was an amazing speaker. Doesn't say that he was a musician. Doesn't say that he was athletic. Doesn't say much of anything. But it does list a whole bunch of mountains in his life. Betrayal, violence, slavery, all sorts of things. False accusations. They're all cast upon Joseph. But he only had one thing going for him. He knew he was called. See how that flips the two things that I just mentioned earlier? Number one, we begin to look at life with a long-term view. Those problems, they're going to go away, in other words. And number two, we begin to really see that our problems aren't so big, and all of a sudden we begin to make molehills out of our mountains. You know, one of the other unusual things about this text, and through this passage in the latter chapters of Genesis, is how little God is actually mentioned in Genesis. He's hardly mentioned at all. There's just a bunch of life events and happenings and sibling rivalry and dysfunctional families. It's kind of like watching a soap opera, honestly, the end of the book of Genesis, and it doesn't look like God's all that involved. But you see, when you take a deeper look, you see that God's actually very, very involved.